to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Steve, a.k.a. Watch Beneath, and here's my boy, Chad. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neves, aka Watch with Neves, and I'm here with my co-host Jeff, aka DJ Never More Than 12.
Never more than 12.
Dude, when that line dropped, I was out of my seat. I was like, yes. That had to hype.
If he didn't give it away at that point, I would have been so pissed. Like, bro, are you trying to die?
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, listen, we got to introduce our guest this week, man, because we got an awesome guest. Someone I met on Twitter. I've been following this person for a while. Does a lot of Rogue One stuff. Does some Game of Thrones. Tons of stuff on Twitter, and he goes by Star Wars Lawyer. What's going on, Star Wars Lawyer? How are you?
Hello. What have we here? Thanks for having me. It's great to be here on Salam Nerds.
Damn, your voice is so nice, man. You have a better voice than all of us.
Want to
take over our podcast? I want to try to talk. I can't even do it, man. I can't even talk like you, bro. Damn.
I know. You got to go. You got to get the vocal fry going while you're talking.
Deep voice, yeah.
And then if you pull it out the chest, you can do the everything the light touches is our kingdom.
He's saying, do Vader now.
Oh, man.
Well, speaking of Vader, hold on.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
He's coming together.
Oh, very, very cool. Listen, tell people a little bit about yourself, man. Give us a little bit of intro. Tell us a little bit. Why are you called Star Wars Lawyer, first of all? Whose lawyer are you?
So my name is Chris, a.k.a. Star Wars Lawyer. I am a lawyer in real life. I make content, Star Wars content, obviously, but I talk Marvel, DC, Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, Rings of Power.
Oh,
pretty much most nerdy things. I have a podcast called Too Black, Too Nerdy that I do with my co-host, also named Chris. I'm on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. I think that covers everything all under Star Wars Lawyer, and I just talk about what I want.
Oh man, that's awesome, man. You don't just do Star Wars, you do like tons of things to diversify your law degree.
Yeah,
he's allegedly one of the best lawyers in the Star Wars galaxy. So,
I believe it. Well, you know who needs a lawyer is Bix, man, because they are holding her under.
Yeah, where's her? She should be released. She gave them they wanted. I don't know if there's a Geneva Convention in Star Wars, but it probably got tossed out the window with the Empire. But it was rough for Bix. She definitely needed some representation.
That's some Guantanamo shit, man. That's some waterboarding. That's some early
waterboarding.
2000. That's some torture right there, man. That was wild.
I was expecting for them to give us the sound.
I was hoping for it too.
I think it was creepier that they didn't, and then we just heard her scream.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
I think that's because there's no sound they could have played that would have either been appropriate for Disney Plus or would have given us a reaction to, actually feel like visceral pain from just listening to it.
I mean, they could have played It's Friday by Rebecca Black, and that might have done it to me.
It's probably the new Taylor Swift album, to be honest.
Just kidding.
I swear to God, I do not want to mess with the Swifties. I'm just
bro. Do not get us canceled.
This is gonna be the top 10 YouTube watched video, but then it's just gonna be because it's gonna be filled with how the Swifties are gonna come for you.
No.
Neves, what have you done, man?
No, I would never. I would never. But Dr. Ghost, man. What's his name? Dr. Gorse? Oh, man. That guy.
Gorse, yeah.
I feel like that is such a good character. We have to see them again because he was menacing. He was scary. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he was just he was very quiet, very direct. And it's the calmness that makes it all the worse. Because if he was like your stereotypical creepy, like, ooh, I enjoy causing people pain. It's like, okay, we've seen that before. But he's like, no, he's like, it's going to suck for you. But, you know, it's not going to be too physical. Just let me know when you're done.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Pat in the comments, like, when the franchise makes me wait for the screams of children. Like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Solid. This reminds me of, you know, I hate to get political, but this really does remind me of Jamal Khashoggi when he was murdered. Mm. And the murderer's like, yeah, just put in headphones. You won't hear him scream. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's wild. That's crazy.
So, like, this is exactly what was happening. They literally put the screams in headphones so no one else would hear it.
But yeah. I really do love the way they're showing the Empire and how just, like, they're so cold in such scenarios. Ruthless. When they talk about Salman Pak and they're like, oh, I want to hang him. And she's like, yeah, go for it. What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
go for it.
Go hang that guy. We don't care. That was wild to me. What are your thoughts?
And this is like a precursor kind of, because we never really see, you know, we see like Leia, the torture droid comes in. We don't see what's a result of that. With mm-hmm. Han, we know he's in the machine and then we just hear him screaming on the outside. So I wouldn't be surprised if what they use in this is what they use on Han. Because I don't remember seeing a droid on Bespin, but if it's, you know, just those headphones and whatever they use, they could easily transport that.
Yeah, someone said in the comments that the way they show Biggs in the interrogation room and the way the door closes and the music pops up is exactly from the A New Hope and when Leia was being interrogated. Mm-hmm. So that's very plausible. That is very, very plausible.
God damn, this means Leia was even more of a badass because she was able to resist all that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Leia was a badass when she was a little girl. That little girl killed it.
That was
my favorite part.
Fantastic.
Kenobi. Oh, man, so good. All right, so let's talk about when Deidre is in the meeting and she's talking about the Axis and she's connecting stuff to Aldani. And they really pick up when, like, they realize that Andor shaved, like man shaved, and that gave it away. That was wild. And it's pretty cool. And I like that whole scene because one of the things that I read is that, like, you know, when she first did this in these kind of meetings, because she's had these meetings before, and it was all like, yes, girl boss, show him. And now it's like, yo, you're pretty much just a fascist. Like, the girl boss moment's gone. You're just as bad as them. And it's kind of like, you know, society, the yassification of capitalism, where they just, like, really don't want to dismantle the patriarchy. They just want a seat at the table, is something that's been a conversation for a while. And I love that this show kind of throws that in there. It's really, really cool. What are your thoughts?
I think with having, you know, Deidre there, I don't know what the actual name is, but the black guy that is sort of been trying to dump on Deidre, I don't even remember if they said his name, but I think one of the important things about when you have this commentary on fascism and imperialism and you have more diverse faces there, what it shows, what it also, you know, it demonstrates in real life, that there will be members of the oppressed that will essentially be overseers in the system of oppression, because it's that crabs in a barrel mentality, you know, like, hey, I'm gonna get ahead and make sure that I'm secure and maybe my family is secure. I don't care about y'all.
That makes perfect sense.
Even later in the episode, remind me to come back to this, because in the prison, we also saw that a bit too.
Mm-hmm.
So I will definitely come back to this when we're later in the episode. And as for the black actor from the Imperial Command, his name is Supervisor Blevin.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, speaking of Deidre, like, I just want to say, the actress, as much as I hate this lady, is fantastic. She's so amazing. Good.
She's killing it.
Dude, the way she makes me hate her, like, oh, my God. She's so good.
Just real quick, in the comments, Pat's like, Andor's beard is Superman. It's like Superman has glasses. Like, very accurate.
That is true. That is true. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Back to Deidre. Yeah, like, even like the way she was like staring Bix down and like the way her eye twitched, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, just good. Her facial features give so much, like, oh man, she's so good at making us hate her.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
That's how you know it's a phenomenal actress.
Oh yeah.
When they make you hate them, like, oh, you did a very good job here. And I'm pretty sure she's like a really nice lady, but like
perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just like, oh, I hate her. But you know what? Speaking of like actors who you like don't like their characters, freaking Karn. He's come back.
Zero. Whoop. Oh my god.
That guy, that guy's got it bad. He's down bad right now.
Okay, I don't blame him for being down bad for Deidre, but like, bro.
Like, okay, this man has got a playlist of songs. Like, I put one on Twitter and I was like, maybe I just need to make a playlist or ask people to like contribute to the playlist. Like, this man is singing One Wish by Ray J about Deidre, You Belong With Me by Taylor Swift about Deidre. You know, like, he's just got a playlist of how he's down bad for this woman. And she knows his name, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. I want to read a comment that that JJ wrote. She goes, their sex would be so vanilla and pasty and it would just be missionary where no one finishes. And after Deidre staring at the ceiling with thing, did I shut my laptop off or did I put it to sleep? And Cyril goes and cries.
Yep. 10 out of 10.
Accurate.
Oh man.
Oh, and then Pat in the comments again is like, I want Deidre to get in my face like she got in Bix's. Well, yeah. We're all there, buddy. It's okay. No one's touching you here.
The sexual tension between them just made me so uncomfortable.
I hope they don't get together. I really hope they don't. Like, I want to root for Deidre, but then if she's gonna end up with fucking Cyril Karn, no thank you.
Yeah,
you like that. Go ahead.
I see people that are just like, oh, I want them to get together. And I'm just like, dog, that's like nails on a chalkboard to me.
It reminds me of the Family Guy episode of British having sex, like almost. Curio.
God, I don't want to see so that.
No. But she did give my boy a promotion somehow. Or did she not? I don't know. They left that a little ambiguous.
Yeah, it was like, I didn't do anything, but also I gave you a second chance. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't know. Mm. I don't know. Interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't get behind Cyril though, because you know, it's the obviously he has this strong sense of justice, but at the same time, he was unable to see that he could do something wrong or the Imperial mechanism could do something wrong unless it was done wrong to him.
Yeah.
Right. The Empire's perfect, except it's the one instance. Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, so those two workers, like, oh, they were my coworkers and they were murdered. And his, you know, his supervisor got it right. He was like, they were doing something they weren't supposed to. They probably tried to rough up someone. They roughed up the wrong one and they found out.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pat. I like Pat's comment right here. Cyril got Juju's LinkedIn page bookmarked on the follow name.
It's his background. It's his background.
Yeah, of course. Oh, he has the hearts and everything. Like, you know those like those like 3x5 pictures you had?
Yeah.
Back in like high school. And then he probably has one of hers.
Mm-hmm. I bet you he's singing that Taylor Swift song, like, You Belong With Me.
Yeah, oh, he's down bad. I don't play
man.
With him, you know.
Oh, man. But look at the way his mama treats him, man. His mama's all up in his business and, like, homies.
Like, oh, you trimmed your hair.
I mean, okay, you know, Cyril has a degradation kink and Deidre has a praise kink. It's just, you know.
I guess it's a match made in heaven then.
Yeah, shout out to Kels. Discount sounds a start.
Oh, this is some Freudian shit, man. Yeah, the way his mom treats him. Oh man, that's crazy. Also, I want to know who Uncle Harlow is. He better be somebody famous. He better be somebody.
You can't keep name dropping him without like him popping up at some point.
I know. I gotta know who Uncle Harlow is, man.
Watch him be you, Lauren, but just, you know, they just call him Harlow.
Yeah,
I'll be so mad.
Oh man. All right, man. Let's save the prison later. Let's talk about Mon Mothma and the whole West Wing storyline that's going on, which is like really, really cool. I'm really starting to get into all the politics and all the little what's that Kevin Spacey show? House of Cards. It's like the House of Star Wars right now. It's so awesome. What are your thoughts on that, Star Wars lawyer?
Just Mon Mothma, you know, hitting her head up against the wall. Like, we know she has a few, you know, allies in the Senate. You can hear them in the background. I want to see more of them. Even though if I had to think, we know like Bail is working with the Fulcrum agents and the rebellion that way. I wonder if he and Mon know what the other is doing at this point. We know they do by the time Rogue One is going on and possibly Rebels, at least Rebels season 3 and 4. So I'm very curious as to if we are going to get any of the other Rebel sects, like if, you know, Mon gets connected with them, or if Luthen is connected to the other ones, or is he only connected to Mon? Because Luthen seems like the guy that he has, you know, we know he knows Saw and the guy that's going to attack Spellhouse Krieger, but is he like connected to all of them and is just, you know, bouncing around to when things need to get done?
So there's a thing about that, and it's fascinating when you think about Rogue One and how all this ties in together. So we know that Krieger was the mediator, and he was between Saw Gerrera and this other faction, right? And then we also know that there was an informant. I cannot remember the name of that planet. It starts with like a K, but it was in Rogue One, right? He's the one who got the original plan of the Death Star and gave it to Andor, right? For them to be there, right there, it was on the planet where Krieger is. So for Krieger to be connected to the informant, and then for Andor to be connected to go to that planet in Rogue One, that means all of these factions are connected.
I know and exactly
the only one that's possible is if Luthen is doing it.
That makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of like money laundering going on right now with the Senate, which I think is really interesting. So, you know, follow the money. That was really like the tension is what really drives it up, because she's like, we got to be able to cover our tracks somehow. They're going to do an audit. And you're like, when is the shoe going to drop? Right. And then you also find out all this stuff happening with her family. And then the reveal that Val is her sister.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. I thought
it was Luthen's daughter, but nope. It was Mon Mothma's sister.
I think it might have been Josh Mesa Windu who I first saw say, like, what if Vel is her sister, because it follows like the Chandrillan, you know, like style of naming. And I was like, oh, you know, that could be possible. I was on the, you know, that was probably Luthen's daughter as well. But when, you know, I was surprised. But it was really good to see the sort of dichotomy of where Mon is and where Vel is, and Vel using Senta's words against Mon.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And like, it actually, like, I actually appreciate the character of Vel so much more when you find out that she's rich and she's privileged and she's doing all of this stuff, and she's just like in the thick of it, right? And then her sister is there in the Senate, and they're both doing it on different levels. Like, fantastic. I didn't see any of this coming. It was really, really cool. And I'm gonna go ahead and say it, this is my favorite Star Wars content. Like,
I told you it's the best Star Wars show ever made.
Yeah it's phenomenal, man. It's so good. And I just love the politics of Star Wars. And as Pat just mentioned right now, one of the best scenes, he says, my heart dies seeing the light of the Senate seats turn off as people just ignore Mon and seeing the place so quiet. Like, yes. That part got me too, man. And
I'm glad they used the pause from, what was it, episode 3? Like showing the Senate on Coruscant. I was like, oh my God, they're bringing everything back. I love it.
And it's so true.
Yeah, we're, you know, it's really showcasing that we're in the twilight of, the Senate, because we know in A New Hope they're done. So they got 3 years. What is this? 5 years? 5 years left.
Yeah.
In the whole, what, 10,000 plus year run of the Senate.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny that when the Senate, she's at the Senate, she's talking about it, and she's talking about overreach. And we got Elon over here buying Twitter, dissolving the board, and like becoming the Emperor Palpatine of Twitter.
Money corrupts, man.
$8 a month.
$8 a month. Yo, Slum Nerds is going to be verified by next week. We'll pay that $8 a month.
I'm so mad. Like, the checkmark used to mean something, and now it's going to be bots pretending to be real.
I mean, as long as I know the difference between, I don't know, like Mark Hamill, the person, and Mark Hamill, the person that, you know, spelled his name with a one just so he could trick people into thinking he was actual Mark Hamill. Like, as long as I know that Mark Hamill is Mark Hamill, all right, you know, just like the people I care about, like that have the check mark, let me know that they're actually real somehow.
So I actually own the domain DonaldTrump.com, and it's like TRURNP. So the R and the N with like an M. Yeah,
get it.
Got
get
a
it
lot
verified.
Of good donations from it.
Get it verified, Jazz. Get it verified.
Oh, no, get verified.
Donald Turnip. Oh man!
Send all the money to Blue Action Political Action Committee.
Pat says, also separatists were name dropped again in this episode, and again showing them on the right track. I'm happy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anto Krieger was there. Saw Guerrero was name dropped.
Yo, we got to get Pat on the show. Pat's always dropping like gems in the comments.
Yo, there. Pat, what are you doing next week?
Get him on. Let's get him on. No, but I really, really like all that stuff that's going on with Mon Mothma and the politics. It's really, really interesting.
I thought it was hilarious that Mon Mothma's husband was like, oh, we got to find you a husband. And she's like,
oh, yeah.
and Mon just kind of smiles like, I know.
If only you knew.
I was like, you sure her husband isn't South Asian, man? Because that sounds a lot like somebody's dad. you can't escape it. You can't escape it.
It's like Corliss from, you know, the House of the Dragons. Like, it's a phase.
Yeah, it's a phase.
The phase of her entire life.
Yeah. All right, also, did you notice that her husband and her daughter were sitting on the exact opposite ends of the table?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
I don't get her daughter at the moment, because I like, she really gets along with her aunt. She doesn't seem to get along with her mom, but she does get along with her dad.
She gets along with her aunt because her aunt gave her gifts. She's a spoiled rich kid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Perrin is turning Lita against Mon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like sowing those, like the, oh, he lets me do whatever I want. And, you know, just sowing those swords of discontent, like, oh, she wants to leave the party. Go ask your mom. You know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're building up to something there. There's going to be some kind of, I think her daughter finds out. I don't know. No, I don't. Maybe. Who knows?
Sit later.
All right. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. And that's like the prison. Mm-hmm. Yo, pour one out for our boy Olaf, man.
I was just like, after that first thing they showed, I was like, oh, he's not making it out this episode.
Oh man, I felt for him, and I was really sad. I was just like, no, just hang on. You're almost there. Man, Andy Serkis, bro. Bro, what a gift he is to the Star Wars universe. Because this episode was all him. It was all him. Because like, you see it, every scene of him gradually just fighting with like his thoughts. And he's so like sold into like, hey, I just got to do my time. I've got to get these guys to do this, and I'm going to be out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put my head down and be out. And then you see him slowly start to realize more and more. And like, by the end of it, you're just like, cheering. It's so good. It was built up so well. Loved it.
Like the whole episode, Cassian is singing They Don't Really Care About Us by Michael Jackson. And you know, and Kino is just this entire episode. He goes from just folding his arms to nodding his head to the beat to now at the end, he's, you know, dancing with Cassian, just like, they don't really care about us, you know.
You know, one of the, speaking of like, you know, they don't really care about it, one of the things that he does is he says like, nobody's listening. Mm-hmm. And at the end of Rogue One, Jane asks him, do you think someone's listening? And he goes, I do. So it's like a little bit of a callback to that. And I was like, oh, that's so good. That's so good.
It's like the poetry. Show. It rhymes.
The show's made for the nerds. And like, truly the nerds are going to appreciate every little detail that went into this whole series.
You know what the realization is? We don't need space wizards and like space westerns to enjoy Star Wars. We can just enjoy it for what it is. And I love it. So good. So good.
Yeah, you know, the Mandalorian was a nice surprise when we got Baby Yoda. I mean, mostly it's without the Force, but yeah, like we all love Jedi and Sith and Force users, you know, like the Witches of Dathomir and things like that. But they're only a fraction of the universe that we get. And most of the characters we get development for are not actually, you know, Jedi, you know, where you get Han, Chewie, Lando, you know, Leia for at least two movies was, you know, you could debate the end of Empire, but you know, there are just so many characters that we all love that are not Force users that you can build out that part of the universe and it still be Star Wars.
Absolutely. I do feel like there's something that this show does that other shows don't do, like, you know, not only do they show like the unjust of the, like, you know, court system and how unjust they are, but also like prison being, you know, so hopeless and like there's so much fear there and almost claustrophobia there and just like panic. And you're just like, you know, what are we doing here? Like this prison, it makes prison seem like the way it should be portrayed in Star Wars, right? It's wild because you're under this fascist regime. What are your thoughts of like how they've been showing prison?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because we don't have a lot of prison content in the Imperial era. The Clone Wars gave us a glimpse in the Republic era, and it's what you would think you would see in a functioning democracy. You know, prisoners are treated humanely. Quote, you know, unquote. They get their food. You know, they go labor. Back to their cells, you know, just, you know, like a little bit of labor, you know, they probably get paid as opposed here where they're just essentially in work camps.
Right.
Like the food has no taste unless you, you know, like you win the shift.
Yep.
So they're like, they want to keep you nice and fed because you're livestock, your cattle at this point.
Yeah. It's not that far different than having the, what is it called, commissary, where you just get like money in your account. Like, it's wild, man. I love the way that they're showing this, and it's really, I don't know, bringing you into the Star Wars world. Like when you're watching, like, I don't know, like Kenobi, you're not in the world, you're just enjoying the show, right? But this, you feel like you're in the world. Like I feel what Andor feels. I feel what Bix feels. Like it's so like, I don't know. It just like gets to you. I don't think any other Star Wars show does that.
Yeah, because it's given the time to breathe, giving you the time to breathe in everything. Like I think I first noticed it in the first couple of episodes with the music. Like I felt that the music really not just encapsulated the moment that it in, which I feel like Natalie Holt did with Kenobi, but it encapsulates the world. So where it's just like, okay, oh, this awesome moment's about to happen, and then the score rises like, no, I'm in here with this.
Pat says, you mean like most of the private owned prisons now? Exactly. Yes.
Facts.
Exactly. Like first time I've ever even noticed that was when I watched Orange is the New Black. Like I feel like that was the first time where I'm like, let me look into this. And I'm watching this again. I'm just like, we
have for-profit prisons.
Shout out to the 13th Amendment.
Right?
Oof.
Oh man.
Oof.
Wow.
Chris. Go off, my guy. Go off.
Listen, man, big facts. That's what I'm here for, man. That's crazy.
Like, there's nothing I can say to you as a black man. I know exactly what you're going to say. Like, You're right, 100%.
Yep.
It's wild. And then you have like the other aspect of it where they can just like, you know, call in the Patriot Act, right? And just be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're brown. You look suspicious. Yeah, we're going to send you in Guantanamo. There's people in Guantanamo right now that haven't had a court date ever, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's wild.
And something they're like, oh yeah, this would be like a few months since, but now it's 6 years.
6 years, yeah. That's wild.
I mean, it's not even 6 years now. Now it's just endless, right?
Right.
Because, yeah.
You know, they're building the Death Star. Like, let's be honest, they're making the machines that are gonna build the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of these got out, then Palpatine would have a whole fuck ton of paperwork in the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not gonna let it get out, meaning he's gonna kill everybody along the way.
And pretty much that lines up with everything that we've seen regarding the construction of the Death Stars. We knew that the Wookiees were slaves for, mm-hmm. I think, both mm-hmm. Death Stars and building the equipment. Now, it would make sense that they would have this prison labor pipeline for the Death Star materials, yeah. as well. And you space everything out enough that no one's able to get the full picture unless mm-hmm. you're Thrawn, and then you figure it out.
True.
I can't wait to see Thrawn. I hope he comes in this show like we see him at the very end or something.
I doubt we will. I think they're going to save that for the Ahsoka show. But I hope the Ahsoka show does this format where they do like these episodes by three. Like, I love the mm-hmm. way they do that. It's like the first episode sets it up, the second episode builds it, and the third episode delivers, right? They keep mm-hmm. doing that, and it's just so good. And like, honestly, I cannot wait for the prison break. Like, he's going to go all Michael Scofield on here, and I mm-hmm. am going to like lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind when they prison break it.
They've set it up so perfectly. And the fact that it's Andy Serkis, like, he's going to be leading it. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
let's go.
I don't see him making it out, though.
I don't see him making it out either. He's like, definitely
he's going to either sacrifice himself or he's going to make it to the very end and get shot.
Yeah.
Or stunned by it, whatever they do on that floor thing.
Yeah.
Or he makes it, becomes a rebel, and then dies on the first mission.
I don't know.
See that. Like, he may not die this like three episode sequence,
mm-hmm.
but you're 100% correct. He's going to die very early because we never see him again. And yeah. it's just going to happen either now or, you know, real soon.
Mm. Yeah. I can see that.
Rip see Andy.
That. Oh, man. But you know what? That's really cool. I love the fact that you slowly see that Andor has been slowly getting a lot of people on his side. Because when mm-hmm. he went to go to make a run, the black guy was kind of doing a watch out. And I was like, before I was like, oh, is he going to rat him out? And like, no, he's in on it. And then mm-hmm. they're like counting boots and they're counting like what's electric, what's not. And there's so much like strategy going on. And he's slowly getting like more and more people on his side. And then the last one was Kino, right? I mean, mm-hmm. once you got him, you're golden. And yeah. it took our boy Olaf dying to make him see that. And the doctor came in and he's like, oh shit, this is it. We're never yeah. getting out.
And I think if you had Cassian after episode 3, he wouldn't have been able to do this. But Cassian, after having worked with the rebels on Aldani, mm-hmm. does now understand the value of teamwork. He's like, there is no yes. scheming and scamming my way out of this. Like, I have to know people. I have to get to trust them, and they have to trust me so that yep. we can get together, because there's only one enemy here.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, because he was not about teamwork. He was always about going it alone. And then mm-hmm. in Aldani, he was like, oh, I understand the value of teamwork. And now he's applying that in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes Cassian one of the best leaders of the Rebel Alliance.
Ooh,
and makes so Rogue good. One even better.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I'm going to do as soon as this show is over, then I'm going to go watch Rogue One and appreciate Facts. It from a new standpoint. Like, I think that show is just going to be delicious watching this.
Don't just do Rogue One. Do... like after Andor, do Rogue One and Episode 4. Like, tie mm-hmm. it all together.
Yeah.
You truly yeah. see just how badass every character is.
Can't wait. Can't yeah. wait, man. That's the one thing I love about Star Wars, is that once like new media comes out, you can watch an old one and watch it from a completely different perspective. It's like watching yep. it for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really cool. I really like, even Kenobi, like when that came out, I want to go back and watch A New Hope, because now there's so much like there, and you understand the relationship that Kenobi had with Leia. It's like mm-hmm. so solid, and you're like, oh yes, they know each other from way back. So mm-hmm. it's really cool.
Well, maybe not. there is a theory that he may have been a Jedi mind trick to make her forget who he was.
I don't know.
I mean, she just to really keep her safe. Just to keep her safe.
She was really excited in A New Hope, where he's like, "I'm here with Ben Kenobi." Ben Kenobi.
Yes. And then, you know, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. He can't be leaving breadcrumbs like that. Like,
I don't know. Her mind's strong, man. Her mind's strong.
Her mind is strong, but she's also a kid. And she's stupid.
But she doesn't know that where he is.
Yeah.
She knows he's alive. But then, you know, like, let's say 5 years later, someone comes to, you know, be like, "You know where Obi-Wan Kenobi is." And she's like, "Who?"
Yeah.
You know, just because he's like, "Okay, yeah, I might have seen him 5 years ago, but he could be dead now."
But then why wouldn't they just, like, torture her?
Yeah.
Well, not above that.
Reva would be the only one that really knows.
Yeah. And Reva couldn't mind trick her out of it either.
Right. And fifth brother
torture body
dies. Yeah, dies at some point, you know, in Rebels. So it's like, who knew that Obi-Wan was actually there specifically, Vader, besides Reva at that point? And Vader was essentially told by Palpatine, "Drop it or I'm gonna drop you."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't be surprised if Vader got someone else to keep hunting him down.
Yeah.
So if baby Leia knew about all this, her life and Senator Organa's life would have always been in danger. I think for the safety of everybody, he just...
I don't think that matters. I don't, whether they knew or not, like, she was never in anybody's custody other than that time. Like,
also, Bail and Mon are probably one of those two senators that are going to be hard to touch, because they are really beloved throughout the galaxy, and people really loved Leia.
Yeah,
the Princess Alderaan.
Yeah, like, especially when, like, if you've read Lost Stars, you know, when she's there and, like, everyone's so enthralled and captured, they're like, "Oh, the Princess of Alderaan," you know, like the senator. Yeah, so, like, I think she's in a safe position because of who her parents are.
Okay. I agree. Pat had one more comment. He said, "And one of the prisoners is a rebel of the Cassian Cole's family and volunteers to go to Scarif with Jin and Gen." Yep. Yes, that is the guy who is on top of the bunk of Andy Serkis. He is definitely the same person in Rogue One. So at least two people have plot armor.
Yeah.
Two people are getting out of me.
That's what we know. Yeah. Man,
everyone else
is back to the prison break scene. Like, I'm so hyped for it. Like,
there's still one more transformation we have to see Cassian make. Like, we know he's willing to kill, and now we know he's willing to work with a team, but we have to see him willing to kill under someone else's direction and not question it.
Yeah,
because at that point, like, you're a full-on believer for the cause, and you're just like, "I'm going to manipulate this person and then kill her dad in front of her, and I'm going to be okay with it."
Yeah. We have three more episodes, and it's going to happen.
Three more episodes and season two.
Yep.
And season two. You guys think that we're going to find his sister in season one, or is that going to be a season two thing?
Season two.
I don't think he ever finds his sister. I think she finds out about him. Like, it's going to be an epilogue post Rogue One. And she finds out that it was her brother, along with others, that helped put the plans in motion to destroy the Death Star.
New rebel faction grows from it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
really cool. I can totally see that.
I can see that too. Man.
How tragic they never get to see each other again. But still, that's amazing.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, no. No, I want them to meet.
What is Star Wars if not hot people in pain persevering?
Accurate.
Okay, Vision.
Vishon.
I saw someone dressed up as that on Halloween. That was so good. Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, man, thank you so much for joining us. This was really good. Anything else you want to say before we leave? Did anyone have any last thoughts that we didn't cover?
No, I think I covered everything I wanted to say, at least right
now. Awesome. Well, let people know where they can find you.
You can find me, Star Wars Lawyer, on TikTok, Twitch, Instagram, YouTube and Twitter. Also, my podcast, Too Black, Too Nerdy, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Awesome. It's like Too Fast, Too Furious, or like?
Yeah.
Okay. Number two.
Or you do that, or you can do TOO. Both will pop, bring it up.
Okay.
Got it. All
too
right,
black,
man.
Too what? What was the second word?
Nerdy. Too black, too nerdy, and too Chris. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, man. And we'll definitely have you back on. Apparently, you watch a lot of the shows we cover, so we would love to have you back on
when
some of these shows come back around. Well,
also, hi, Sue.
Hey, Sue. How are you? What's going on? Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the stream. And yeah, we got to get
Pat, we're seeing you next week, all right?
We got to get Pat on the show. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.
And we're